When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey guys, if you want more Girls Next Level tea, behind the scenes, and deep dives, head over to our Patreon page for the exclusive content you can only find there. We have a whole other podcast called Slumber Party with Holly and Bridget. We have the commercial-free, uncensored video version of Girls Next Level, our personal scrapbooks, advice, Q&A, and so much more. I'm up in the comments talking to you guys. It's all the good stuff. We've been doing this for about a year and a half now, so there's a ton of content to binge. So go over to patreon.com/girlsnextlevel to join our Patreon family. We love you guys so much. We'll see you there.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. I am, if you're watching the video version, I'm like stuck to the side of my chair because we're like getting used to these new mic configuration. And this isn't where they're going to be, but I ran out of time today before we're recording. So here we are. You know what else sucks about today is I am having Playboy fatigue to the nth degree.
Yeah, well, it's understandable.
Yeah, because as we're filming this, we're recording this like a couple weeks in advance. So as we're doing this, it's right after we had like a phone call go haywire with a potential guest. It's right after that Us Weekly article came out, which we reacted to twice, once before it came out and once after. But I do feel better. Like, I feel better about the situation having reacted to it. Like, if I were just sitting on it and had not expressed my views on it, I'd feel worse.
Yeah.
But there's that. There's the fact that as we're recording this, the episode that's about to go live is about my least favorite episode. And I don't even like hearing myself talk about it. I hope you guys like the episode, but I'm editing it and re-listening to it a million times. And I'm just like, I don't know how much Playboy stuff I can take.
Yeah.
Like, I have fun doing this show, obviously. But then sometimes when other things come up that like interfere with the rest of our lives or take up more space in our life than the podcast ordinarily does. Cause obviously we do this podcast, you know, and it's very compartmentalized. It's like the rest of our lives aren't touched by, you know, what happened 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just been a lot lately. And I've just been like, ugh.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Cause it has been a lot. And the Us Weekly thing is draining because it just feels like we're going in circles. Like, I think I told you the other day, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm like drowning or being suffocated or something when this stuff comes out, because there's the story that said, and then we refute it, but then she just changes it again. And it's just like, I can't keep up with all of the inconsistencies and all the lies. Like my Libra in me wants to go in and like, oh no,
correct.
Yeah. We have to correct all of this because this isn't right. But then part of me is like, I can't keep up with all of this.
I know. And it's too much.
And I know you guys see it too, because I see your comments and you guys are like, how is it just like she says one thing and then you guys correct it and say it can't be that because of this. And then she says something totally different that makes her first thing she said totally wrong. So and it's just like, and no remorse, no care in the world. Nobody, I feel like nobody but us is actually calling her out on it. I mean, our fans are,
yeah,
but I mean, nobody else out there that knows, you know?
Yeah. There's so many people who have stories and they're just afraid to talk, or they're just not public facing people and they don't want to do it. And it's a lot.
Or they get scared for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Totally. People get scared. So where did we leave off talking about the bunny hunt? Crystal Camden the last thing we talked about?
Yeah. And I was sealing off on her application that she needs to move forward to the next episode.
Yeah. So this episode I wanted to call Judging and Being Judged, because you pointed out something really interesting, Bridget, which is that we are being asked to judge what in a lot of ways is a beauty contest. Not in all ways, but you are looking for people that fit a certain beauty standard. But then you feel like we're being judged by the audience for judging the women.
I feel like I'm being judged by the show for judging other women.
Yeah.
And the audience, in return, that makes the audience mm-hmm. judge us too. But the show is deliberately trying to make us look catty and rude and saying snarky comments and stuff like that, when it's literally our job to discuss that day, to mm-hmm. discuss with the other people, like what we think is positive features about that person and what we think is not. And we weren't doing it in a rude and catty way in front of the people. And it sort of makes it look like that. Like it makes it look like there's rolls of the eyes and like snarky comments and stuff, mm-hmm. in my opinion, in this episode. And I felt like this is so rude. Like they asked us to judge this contest, gave us strict criteria on what we needed to look for. And now they're kind of like judging us for judging these other girls, which in turn is going to make the audience judge us.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And this is make us look catty and rude. Which goes back to episode 2. I feel like they're sort of bringing it back to episode 2, where I'm jealous of all these other girls and it doesn't set right with me.
Yeah, because we're about at the point in this episode, as we're talking about it, where the three of us and Keith are sitting around this table, and Chris from the Palms are sitting around this table, and they're cutting in little snippets of what we're saying. Like Kendra says, I can't believe some of these people are trying out. It would be like me trying out for Miss America. And I say something, and I say something like, well, you know, when you walk into the Playboy Club, you're not going to get the chance to talk to everybody. And then you say something else. But I feel like knowing the three of us, I feel like we're all trying to be very careful with what we say and say it in a diplomatic way, because we know what they're looking for. We know what the criteria is. And I feel like we're all kind of like tiptoeing around. Like when Kendra says that thing about Miss America, I feel like she's just being careful and she's trying to be like self-deprecating in the process. Like, I wouldn't go try out for Miss America. And I can tell we're all three doing that, but it's tricky waters. It reminds me of one time I was judging a Miss USA contest in Vegas, and they, you know, gave us the criteria and what they were looking for before the pageant started. And one of the things they said is, this is a beauty contest. Miss America isn't. Miss USA is a beauty contest. We are looking for beauty.
Right.
And I think there's something about calling a spade when it's like, you know, everybody wants to be politically correct and act like looks don't matter. And of course, we all want to be inclusive. But then there are some of these forums where people are looking for a certain criteria, and you can't act like they're not when they are. Like, that's hypocritical.
Right.
Either the thing exists or it doesn't. And clearly it exists because it's happening. They're casting women as bunnies at the Palms. And so it's tricky waters to navigate for sure.
And I know I say in one of my interviews, like, I'm not just looking for a beautiful girl. I'm looking mm-hmm. for a great personality, somebody who's smart, somebody who, you know, has the whole package. But obviously she can't have an amazing wit, an amazing personality and not fit the beauty criteria.
Yeah.
So I know that in the back of my mind, but it's not the first and foremost what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like just looking at the women who are there, obviously this wasn't an open cattle call. Like, I feel like people must have been approved to even come, right? Because everybody kind of meets the criteria.
I'm not sure, because there is a part where I think I say it, but one of us says, I'm surprised at some of the people who think they have what it takes to be a bunny, because I can tell from across the lawn that there's no way. So I feel like there had to have been some people there that just didn't fit the mold. And you could tell that from like across the yard.
Well, do you think we thought that at the time because we were in this bubble where we were only surrounded by people who met the beauty standard? Because now looking at it, I mean, I feel like maybe not everybody made the cut to be hired as a bunny, but I feel like from an outside perspective, when you're just taking into account people in the real world, it almost looks like it's been filtered and everybody who shows up.
When I was watching the footage back, I was like, everybody looks really good.
Yeah, I thought really so too. Good. So I feel like it must have been pre-screened to a point, don't you think?
I have no idea.
I mean, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but it kind of looks like it was.
Or is later in the day when they have a lot of the B-roll footage, is that where it was narrowed down already? I don't know. Because if there was 300 girls at the end, when we're interviewing people, there's definitely not that many people there.
Yeah.
There's a couple handfuls of girls, mm-hmm. maybe two dozen or something. So maybe a lot of the B-roll of the perfect girls, maybe it got whittled down that day. Maybe a lot of people did show up. I don't recall for mm-hmm. sure, but just based on some of the comments that they're catching us saying and purposely putting in and stuff, I feel like there had to be candidates there that didn't quite meet the standard.
Yeah. And even though they're doing all that, I was relieved when I was watching it because I felt like it could have been worse, and not worse for us, but worse for like the women who went, because if they really wanted to be nasty in the edit, they would have cut like footage of certain girls in when we were saying certain things.
Oh,
so I'm so grateful they didn't do something like that, because that would have been like so humiliating and embarrassing for everybody.
Well, I feel like they did it a little bit. Like somebody would give an answer and it would show me like, giving like a look like I didn't think that was a good answer.
Or
like,
they did do it that way.
Rolling my eyes a little bit, or like looking at Chris, like, and even they have him making a comment like next or something. I forget what he says, but it's, you know, very like just nope. And I know if any of those girls are watching this, or just to clarify to the audience, these don't match up with what
yeah.
any of the questions that we're asking them or anything like that.
And nobody's probably rolling their eyes at anybody. It was probably just like...
No, and Chris is with human resources, so he's not going to sit there and make those kind of mistakes totally. And, you know, in front of the person.
Yeah.
Like, that's their job, is to know how to be, like, totally respectful and all of that. Now, maybe behind the scenes, we actually have to discuss whether somebody has horrible hair or, you yeah. know, like... whatever disqualifies them. But he was not doing that right in front mm-hmm. of them, for sure.
Totally.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
And then we get another complicated situation when I say, I see a Bentley twin.
Yeah, this whole scene really bothers me too. Can I get into why, or do you want to start it out?
Oh, you can start.
This whole scene really bothers me because it makes it look like automatically we're catty because there's an ex-girlfriend there.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate that at all because we got along so well with so many of the ex-girlfriends, like Brandy and Tina. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Crystal, Stacy,
like, Barbie, Sandra. I mean, the show did not portray us as getting along with Barbie, but we all like Barbie.
But we did. Yeah. There's so many ex-girlfriends that we got along with. Of course, we're not going to get along with the mean girls.
Yeah.
But there are so many girls that we get along with. So to make it seem, and I just felt like the scene really made it seem like, oh God, here comes an ex-girlfriend. What's that bitch think she's doing here? Like automatically we're going to be catty and mean. And I don't appreciate it because that's not how it was.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And I think the reason it was awkward was because we didn't know her and she seemed like kind of an intimidating figure at the time. So it just seemed very intimidating and like they were almost like otherworldly in a way. You know what I mean? And then there's the whole like true crime story
right. That
we knew about. And
yeah. You gotta tell them.
Yeah. And I just feel like all this stuff, it made them seem very like otherworldly and kind of just intimidating in a weird way.
Yeah.
So the true crime thing, we did an episode of Playboy Murders on it. It was about Sandy Bentley, who is not in this episode. She was dating a guy who wrote a book. I have a copy of it. It's not in print anymore. I forget what it's even called, but he wrote a book about it. He was like this Wall Street prodigy, like kind of like a baby wolf of Wall Street, but he started embezzling money like crazy. And a lot of it he spent on Sandy, like crazy amounts of money, like bought her like a house in Spanish Hills and Las Vegas and bought her all this super expensive jewelry and furs and bought her sister a house and bought her mom a house and like all this cars, like all this stuff. Like I want to say in the show, it was discovered that he spent like $7 million on her.
Wow.
So a ton of money. But anyhow, he was embezzling all this money and got caught. So all the stuff got seized, all the house, everything. So Sandy and the guy she was dating went back into the house and took some of the jewelry and we're gonna sell it on the down low and not return it. And when the boyfriend went with one of his friends to go sell the jewels, him and his friend ended up getting killed and the jewels got stolen. So that was a whole saga. And I remember Dickie Band telling me about that at the dinner table. And he's like, you can't write this stuff. This should be a movie.
I remember.
So the whole thing just seemed so on another level, yeah. I guess.
I think that's better wording for it. In my opinion, better. It was on another level. Like they.
And it seemed a little strange for somebody who seems like they're on another level to be showing up for an audition. That kind of circles back around to what I was talking about in last week's episode, where I was like, should Playmates even go be auditioning? And I went around and around with it. And I finally figured out, yeah, because they're trying to figure out just who is serious about this job. Mm-hmm. But it might feel funny for some of those women. It didn't seem like it did for most of those women. Like Kiana seemed really happy to be there. But it might feel funny if you feel like you've kind of like made it through all these different levels. And then you're going back to audition like everybody else. Like, I wonder how that feels, you know?
Right. But I also feel like somebody like her probably didn't have to, really. They could have called Hef or Playboy and said, hey, I really want to do this, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Well, one would think, but then clearly not. Because do you think she didn't try to do that?
I don't know. I'm curious too. And it's also very strange. Oh, and I also should take it back a step further to when I very first came and tested, like back in 98.
Yeah. You have to retell that story.
I also met the twins then. So Hef wanted to know, there was me and another girl testing and we were staying out in the guest house. And Hef said, my main girlfriend Brandy has a headache tonight, but if she's feeling better, do you girls want to go out? And the other girl and I were like, yeah, I had no idea what that possibly meant, like none. And we go out to the guest house. It's after the buffet dinner and a movie. And all of a sudden the phone starts ringing and it's Hef. And he says, oh, so I can't go out tonight because Brandy has a headache, but Or what are you guys, what are you girls doing? And I said, oh, we're about to go in the grotto. We were just putting on our swimsuits. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, well, we'll meet you out there. So we're like, what? Oh my yeah. God, freaking out. So we're helping each other tie on our bathing suits and everything. And then all of a sudden the door busts open and here comes Hef and the twins and another girl that was living there at the mm-hmm. time. And they had their hair in the tightest Shirley Temple ringlets I've ever seen. And they were super tan. They didn't say a word to us. They were just kind of like, not wanting to like be out there, it felt like. And have said, well, it turns out we can't go in the grotto either because the girls just spent all day in the salon getting these ringlets yeah. in their hair. So they don't want to go out to the grotto tonight. But we just wanted to come in and say hi and, you know, see what you're doing. And then they leave. And then we leave to go out to the grotto and security stops us and says, did Hef just come out to the guest house? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, holy shit, he hasn't been out there in years.
Oh my God.
Like he'd been married for so long.
Coming out of his shell.
Yeah. And this was like one of the first times. This was back in October of 98. So not long after he was just hitting the market again.
Yeah.
So that was an interest. So I had met them before.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a super warm welcome.
Yeah.
Not that I expected it or cared or knew anything better at the time. Like it was just part of my crazy story that I told and didn't think much of it.
And I think it's interesting too, and I'm glad they catch this because it's not just us, like Keith is uncomfortable with it too. Like Chris turns to look at Keith to get his opinion. He knows the cameras are on him. And he's like, well, I know her, yeah. You know, he doesn't want to say he's super uncomfortable too. So I'm glad they at least caught that. So it's not just us.
But even Chris, who doesn't know her, is like, well, I get the feeling that she came in here feeling like she already had the job.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And we're like, yes, 100%.
I mean, it wasn't job interview skills, like not to be mean, but I think we can all see that on TV. It's like, oh, if the money's right.
Yeah, who says that?
Yeah, and that's the kind of job you don't really know if the money's right until you get there. You don't know how people are going to tip at that establishment.
Yeah.
And then they edit it so it looks like I'm completely cutting her off and stepping over what she's saying and saying, cool, thanks for coming to our table. And I don't think that was real. I think that was them literally overlapping our voices and making it look like we're cutting her off.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was going to say, too, one of the first things she does say when she enters the scene is she asks Pat Lacey, is Hef around? So she is trying to bypass everything right off the bat.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
And there's a part of me that kind of thinks people should be able to, but I'm like including Crystal Camden in that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I keep going in circles with it. Like, should people try out like everybody else or not?
Yeah. And then there's another part, too, where it kind of really bothered me is that they have Kendra, like at the end when we're all kind of in agreement that like, I don't know, you know, about that one. Then they have Kendra like say, act like she's... Kendra says, well, not really knowing her, I think she would be good. Like,
do you think she's even saying that about her, though?
I don't know.
Cut ins from something else.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think. Why didn't I think about that? But I didn't even think about that. I just assumed it was her because then in commentary, Kendra's very anti her. Kendra's like, no.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't remember it going down like that in real life. I don't remember her coming to Mandy's rescue.
But they put it in there like that. But the show is doing that again on purpose because it's going back to we're jealous and catty.
Yeah.
But Kendra is like, you know, these are the homies. Like this is all good. She's not jealous of anybody, blah, blah, blah. It's not true. Yeah. None of this is true. We're not jealous of her. We're literally trying to get the right people for the right job. And we're like, is this the right girl for this job? And Kendra isn't like, oh, she's great. Yeah. It's fine.
And then it cuts to us at the final judging table where everybody has to kind of like parade in front of Hef in a bikini and say a few words.
Mm-hmm. Hef and George Maloof.
Yeah. At the table are the three of us. And then there's Hef and George Maloof, the owner of the Palms, John Gray from the Palms, and Chris. And then I want to say Penelope Jimenez looks amazing in this episode.
Yeah,
she's in the green bunny costume.
Yeah.
I would not have the guts to get in a bikini in front of everyone these days.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, back then I wouldn't have cared, but.
So you don't want to host a pool party in Vegas this summer?
No, no. And it's funny because Jessica Burciaga was there and I would discover her later on MySpace for Playmate.
Oh, she was there?
Yeah.
Did you see her in the footage?
I saw her in the footage, but I don't remember like meeting her that day or anything. And then when I met her later through MySpace, she was like, oh, I'm a bunny at the Palms. But even then, like, I didn't remember that she had come from that casting.
Oh, well, you know what? Just to clarify too, we were one of the tables. There was, like we said, there was 300 girls that came mm-hmm. that day and there were multiple tables. So everybody didn't come through us.
Okay. That makes sense.
They only sent certain people that were okay with being on camera and stuff to us.
Okay.
I don't know if they gave Mandy, Mandy a choice because they wanted the drama.
Yeah.
But I think that most of the girls, it was like whoever was had a free table, the girls would be sent to next. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't see everyone. We only got like a fraction of the people.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. I wonder if that's who I'm talking about then, because I later say something about there was a dealer. We go to Vegas and I say that there was a dealer that I thought was really cute. I say this in commentary. Uh-huh. And I say that I mentioned something to Hef about it, but he was just like, and like didn't want to hear it. But then I think later she does actually test for Playmate. And I wonder if it was Jessica.
I don't know, because there were several dealers that were really cute and that I thought should be Playmates, but some of them just had no interest in posing nude.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. And also it's like you might feel like attractive in like a bunny costume, but maybe wouldn't feel like me. I'd feel attractive in a one piece, but not a bikini.
Yeah.
That's what made it so hard, I feel, to find Playmates is you're not just looking for like a pretty face and a good body. Like somebody could make it as a model, but like not make it as a Playmate because once they take their top off, like maybe their boobs are weird or something. It's like a whole extra set of criteria.
Yeah.
It was hard. Right in.
Well, they're lining up and Penny tells Crystal, don't be nervous. They're nervous too. And Crystal says, no, they're not. I don't think anybody was nervous. Maybe George Maloof, because I feel like he's shy yeah. and timid, but I don't think anybody else was nervous.
That's so funny.
And Crystal knew it. Crystal's oh like, gosh, no, they're not.
That's so hilarious. So then we say that some girls we crossed out immediately made it to the final round. Did we mean Mandy? Because I'm trying to think who would make it to the final round that we would be like, no.
I mean, obviously, we did cross her out and she still made it to the final round. So,
and this is the first clue that none of our judging is being listened to at all.
Yeah.
Like if we're already saying, oh, somebody we crossed out immediately made it to the final round, then we're just there for no reason.
Well, I know why we're there. And I don't know whether I'm mad about this or just whatever, I get it kind of thing. But the reason we're there, the reason we were even asked to judge this and be a part of it is because then that's reason for the show to film it. And the yeah. show filming it is going to put it on TV. And the TV show is going to promote the Playboy Club at the Palms. And so it's a yeah. win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. So let's give them this fake job, which yeah. I was totally taking seriously because I thought we were legit judging here. And so we can get the promotion out of it.
Yeah.
And they can't do that with just Hef because there's just not enough there for it because he's only coming in at the very end.
Yeah.
But they can do it with us mm-hmm. and act like we actually have a job out there doing this.
Totally.
And make us look bad for doing it.
Yeah.
And then still promote the club.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like a use situation.
I'm kind of glad looking back that I made a big thing about wanting to wear the bunny costume despite Hef wanting it, because what would they have done with all that time if I hadn't done that? I feel like they would have made it worse, like the whole judging and conflict and, you know.
Well, I think it very much brightened up the scene too, like it made it more visual.
Yeah.
And you know what I was thinking too? This was a really weird episode because other than the old footage of you being on stage at the Palms, mm-hmm. The entire episode is this bunny search. It never changes.
Oh, you're right. There's no like,
there's no scenes.
There's no cold open. There's no side plot.
Yeah.
This is the only thing.
There's nothing else going on in it. And I think that's really weird for an episode. And it might be another reason why I don't like this episode. The main reasons are because mm-hmm. I feel like it makes us look like we're judging and stuff, which we are, but I've explained it already. But the other reason is because I feel like it's just this stagnant one situation thing. Like, we don't get a break from it and like see something else that's kind of funny or something else that takes our mind off of it for a second. And then, oh yeah, by the way, in the meantime, this is happening. Yeah. Like, we don't get that little, those little breaks. And I feel like our show is so quick and does so many of those typically.
It's very ADD.
And now this episode, we don't have it. And we're just very much stuck on this contest.
Do you think that Kevin was experimenting with trying to show E, oh, maybe we could do like some kind of Playboy elimination show? Like, I don't think he had a specific idea that he wanted to do that. But elimination shows were so popular in the early 2000s. I feel like they definitely used that as influence for this episode. And I feel, I wonder if he was like kind of toe dipping a little, like, I wonder what that would be like.
Low key making this kind of like a backdoor pilot a little bit. Yeah. Like, this is, hey, E, this is what it could look like if we did a bunny elimination show. Yeah. And they're going to constantly need new bunnies at the Palm. So maybe this is like part of a new show.
Yeah.
I could totally see him doing that.
Yeah. Like, I don't necessarily think he had some huge plan for it, but I think as they were in the process, it's kind of like, oh, let's kind of lean into this and see where it could go.
I could totally see that. And only too, because I feel like they used other situations to make backdoor pilots for people. Ones that you've pointed out that I didn't even know about, but other ones that I do know about.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they—
Man cow.
Yeah. I feel like they absolutely used us and our show to like try and create other shows out of it.
We should create a tally throughout this podcast for how many backdoor pilots there are in this series. Is Man Cow the only one so far?
Could be. Well, and then this
more to
one.
Come. Yeah.
Just two. Wait, is there anything about the bunny house yet?
No, he doesn't do the bunny house pilot until like the Holly's World era. Like, we were long gone.
No, but I'm just wondering if maybe he's trying to get that going a little bit at all at this, in this time frame.
I don't think it ever occurred to him, honestly. And I don't know why it would, because it was always like, you know how I feel about the bunny house scenes that I was always trying to make happen.
Yeah.
They're just so dead in the water.
We feel like that. And we definitely feel like that now. But I don't know that he would have felt like that. Obviously, he didn't feel that way at all, because he does try and do a pilot over there.
And I didn't at the time either, even though I watch those episodes back now. And I'm like, oh my God, this is stale. Why am I trying this so hard? Clearly, I thought it had merit because I kept fucking trying it.
Yeah. I know we've talked about this once before, but that house is very, very, it's not there anymore, but very, very strange, because it was so poppy. It was literally decorated for a TV show. So to look good on camera, to be poppy, girly, like blah, blah, blah. But that energy, that house lacked so much energy.
Yeah. It was like a energy vampire, now that I think about it.
It really was. And I don't know why that would be.
It was a vortex.
And we don't know any of the history of that house, right? Like, who lived there before, like, if any trauma or anything happened there before. I didn't get that vibe. Like, I didn't get the vibe that it was haunted or anything like that, but there was definitely
just very stale,
energy.
Yeah, it was really weird.
And I always just wrote it off as it's because no one lives there and it's closed up all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess people did live there eventually, but usually, for the most part of the time we were there, there was nobody living there. It was just sort of closed up, stale house. You go over there and be hot as hell.
I know. Anyway. Really strange. So when Mandy comes up and Hef says he doesn't have to ask where she's from, and then it sounds like she says Playboy Mansion, and they show her. But is it that a fake line? Because it doesn't look like she's really saying it. Like, I think, I suspect this might be one of those voiceovers that they like asked an editor to go Playboy Mansion.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't remember what she said, but I feel like, would she even said that? Does that even seem like, it just seemed weird to me. I don't know. Maybe she did say it, but it just seemed like a really weird cut.
Oh, interesting. Well, I just assumed she did say it. I didn't notice anything weird about it. I felt like she was kind of like going, yeah, you don't have to ask that. And then she just went, okay, well, the smart aleck answer is I'm from the Playboy Mansion. Like, I felt like that was sort of the attitude and the way I took it. And I thought she did say it, but it's possible. It's possible she didn't. And this is one of those things.
Yeah, it seemed really weird to me. And then Hef leans over to George and they make it look like he's doing this while Mandy's there. But I remember him doing it after, like after she turned around and walked away. He goes, you know, she's a Playboy celebrity. And then I turn to you and I make like a gagging face. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad because they leave that cut in there like I'm doing it in front of Mandy. And I think people probably assume I'm doing it because of her. But I'm doing it because Hef would always do that thing that would make me feel like, you know, you're lucky to be here. But you know who was really spectacular?
Yes.
Every other girl I've dated. That was just kind of like the overarching feel, the way he would like always go out of his way to make such a big deal of his exes and like brush everybody else to the side. And this was another thing. And I remember thinking, dude, this is getting old. Because, okay, she's been on a Playboy cover. And don't get me wrong, if I was in charge of the Playboy Club, I would want people to feel like they were walking into the pages of Playboy magazine. So if somebody who had a Playboy cover wanted to work as a bunny, that would give them an advantage. Maybe they wouldn't be the right person, but definite advantage, because I would love for people to walk in and actually see Playmates or people who'd been on the cover in the magazine. But like his current girlfriends are sitting there who are actually on a mainstream TV show that people watch, but I don't ever
have
feel,
two covers now.
Yeah, but I don't ever feel like he ever acknowledged that we were quote unquote Playboy celebrities, or certainly didn't want us to feel like we were.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
But an ex-girlfriend from like 5 or 6 years ago who was on a cover, that's a Playboy celebrity.
Right.
So watch out.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to like dog her, like take anything away from her. It's just he always had a way of making us feel that way. Like the ex-girlfriends were golden and we're just like these scrubs that are lucky to be there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, they definitely make it look like you're making that face about her and in front of her. But it really was. It's just because Hef is always doing that mm-hmm. to you and to us. Well, that's a Playboy celebrity. Like she's part of this, to George. When we literally have she had one cover and a pictorial. We had two covers and a pictorial at this time and have a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know he's not saying, and you guys aren't, but that's kind of the gist it felt like.
It was always the vibe and the tone mm-hmm. when he would do stuff like that, I felt.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's easy for the show to make it look like, oh, Holly's just like scoffing at the fact that, you know.
Yeah, no other girl can have anything while Holly's around.
Yeah.
And it's not about her. It's about the way he would always handle those situations, I felt, and try to make us feel less than.
Yeah.
And then we hear one of us say, where's the bikini? And they make it sound like we're saying that while Mandy's there, which we weren't.
We weren't saying it in front of her.
We say things behind people's backs. Just kidding.
But I mean, it really was unfair. Like if the rules are you have to wear a bikini, then you have to wear a bikini. And I don't even know if it was a bikini or just a swimsuit. Mm-hmm. But either way, like.
Yeah. Like I might have my thoughts off camera. Like, why does it have to be a bikini? You don't even see the stomach in the bunny costume. But that's what the criteria was. And, you know, spoiler alert, we'll get to the end of this episode. And she ends up getting it over other people. And she didn't even follow the rules.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, what was even the point of that rule?
Level.
And then the next woman who comes up is really cute because she does the bunny dip in front of like Hef and George. And I thought that was cute.
And she's funny though, because she's like, oh, I broke my back or something like that. Like she's funny. And that's what I mean. Like I'm looking for personality like that. And even the other girl, Angela, I think it is.
Yeah.
Like she's so funny.
Angela was so cute and funny. And I ended up making friends with her. And like when we would go out to shoot like the Playboy Club bunnies for the magazine, she would like hang out for the shoot and stuff. And a strange thing happened with her because everybody loved her on the show so much and thought she was so funny and so cute and everything. Kevin, after I started working at the studio, said, you know what? Hef told me that he wants to make Angela a playmate. So try to shoot her, blah, blah, blah. So when I like met up with her in Vegas and stuff, I was like, oh, would you ever pose for the magazine? And she didn't want to. And I'm not about trying to like convince people to like do stuff they don't want to do. But I was like, oh, well, you know, you should like come do our shoot when we're shooting the bunny so you can see what it's like. And, you know, I really like posing and blah, blah, blah. And she didn't end up deciding to want to do it. But then later on, I mentioned something to Hef about it. Like, oh, you know, that girl, Angela, that Kevin said you wanted to make a playmate. And he goes, I never said that. And I'm not saying she wouldn't have got it if she tried out. I'm just saying I would have felt so fucking dumb if I would have like convinced somebody to take this big leap and pose nude. And it wasn't even like a sure thing.
Right.
Because that's the only reason I was even like talking to her about it is I don't like being pushy about that kind of stuff or anything. But Kevin had made it clear. And I hadn't even thought to say anything to Hef about it on my own because I just thought, you know, why would he lie about that? And I don't know that he lied about it. Maybe Hef said something and Kevin got the wrong idea. I don't know. Game of Telephone. telephone, but he's like, oh, Hef really wants Angela to be a playmate. He's going to make her a playmate. Everybody loves her personality so much. So I'm like, oh my God, that was kind of like a bullet dodged. I would have felt dumb if like she posed for a test and it didn't work out.
Yeah, especially since it seems like it was out of her comfort zone.
Totally.
And then she's like, all right, I'm going to get it. Holly says I'm going to get it. So I'm going to do it. And then what?
I know. So I was like, whew.
And you know they would have tried to film that too for the show.
So that was a whole saga.
Whew, thank God. Thank God.
And then a girl who's trying out comes up and she starts crying. She's telling her story about how she flew all the way out here because she wanted to give this a shot. And it makes me emotional still just watching this.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things where Playboy at that time, it's hard to like tell people now, but, and I know we've tried to talk about it before, but Playboy at that time was a big deal.
Yeah. It really felt like getting your foot in the door might just change your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And you would do things like that. Like I can see
fly
doing
across
that.
The country.
Like if I thought there was an opportunity like that, I would have done it.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I just had to go to San Francisco. But if I had to go all the way to LA or all the way to New York, I would have tried to do it.
Yeah.
It would be my first opportunity on how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I totally get it.
And then it cuts to me in confessional and I say, but tears work with Hef. So I think that put her in a good light.
They really do.
And that's true. That's something where like, if you wanted to be manipulative back, he would just kind of like, he didn't really know what to do with it when people were crying.
Yeah.
Like, I remember some of the girls who were trying to move in back in the early days, like would ask several times. And when he would say no several times, they'd like start crying. And then he'd finally, okay, well, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. And then they said they're going to narrow it down to 20 girls.
And we talk about how nerve-wracking it is for the girls, or must be for the girls, to have to wait around and hear who got it. And I'm kind of horrified that they had to like capture this on camera. Like, I know that was like the name of the reality show game back then, is to do these kind of elimination things. But it's kind of embarrassing to be on TV and like, oh, you got it and you didn't.
Yeah, I can see that. But I just feel like not only was it the time period and that was kind of like what was going on, but I just feel like it's sort of the way LA is, or pageants are, or the whole auditioning process.
Yeah, it's definitely par for the course. I think I feel more sentimental about it because some of it involved people we knew and loved and maybe should have had a little bit of a foot in the door and advantage and didn't end up getting it. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like that. So do you think they would have done it this way without the show? Do you think they would have told the girls in person, oh, wait around for an hour while we decide, and then we're going to come back and say who got it? Or do you think they just would have called the girls they wanted to hire?
No, I think they would have made them wait around.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know for sure. I mean, who knows? But I think that they would have had them wait around. I think they would have given them, like maybe a little bit of an orientation or some booklets or paperwork or information to take home with them to fill out, to send, bring back. And I think they would have started the process.
Interesting.
That's my thoughts. Yeah. But
because my immediate thought was, oh, no, they just would have like had everybody try out and then like called the ones they wanted. But who knows?
Possibly.
You never know.
Yeah. I think they were trying to get things all done in one day here, though.
Yeah. So question. Yes. Do you think it's over the top when we say that being a bunny is a great honor?
Well, I think it is now, but back then, no.
Like, I see what we're saying, but like, as an audience member, like, because I try to watch these and like pretend I'm an ordinary audience member who doesn't know anything, and maybe I've stumbled across this is the first episode I've ever seen of this. I might be like, is it really a great honor to be like a glorified blackjack dealer?
Well, I definitely didn't think that it was as big of an honor to work at the Playboy Club as I thought it would be to be a playmate working as a bunny for promotions. I definitely thought that was a higher standard in my mind. But yeah, you know what? I guess if we're just talking about the dealers and the cocktail, like, actually at the clubs, I wouldn't think it's as great of an honor. No.
Yeah. And I'm not putting it down in any way. Like, I think it's a really cool job. And like,
I'm not putting it down. I would have done it.
Yeah.
I would have done it.
But it sounds like so hyperbolic to be like, it's a great honor.
I think it's a great honor to get to wear the bunny costume.
Yeah, because it's rare.
I want to say the real ones, mm-hmm. not the club bunny ones, because it also means you're a playmate then. Yeah. And so I feel like that's like we said before, it's iconic yeah. and it's so cool. And it's, and that to me is an honor. The club bunny thing, they're going to need a lot of girls for that kind yeah. of thing. And I feel like it's still cool, but it's no cooler than any other. I thought a lot of the casino costumes were cute. Or uniforms that they had to wear, but they're like costumey. Like I used to think a lot of them were cute and I would think it would be fun to wear.
Oh no, I think they're cute too. Yeah.
To wear them in general. So, you know, this one, it just happens to be the bunny costume mm-hmm. ones, but I used to love the Caesar Palace ones yeah. and like other ones.
Have you seen know? The vintage Caesar's Palace ones?
Those are, wait, how vintage?
Like the 60s when it oh. first opened.
I was going to say, those are probably the ones I'm talking about, but no.
They were so cute. They were like super short, like almost cheerleader style, like Roman Caesar skirts with like an asymmetrical top. And they had kind of, the ones for Circus when it first opened were kind of cornier because they had like this weird like marching band hat, but they had like a cute circusy one. They were just really cute.
I love all that shit.
I remember on Twitter like years ago, I did some post where I like posted like the images of like the vintage cocktail waitress outfits. And I go, why can't we bring these back? These are so cute. And you know how you get like hater comments for like everything you write?
Yeah.
Even if it's just something so...
People are like, these are sexist and terrible.
No, totally. They're like, it's equality, Hall. It's equality. Like, you can't have a cute outfit because equality. Oh, dear.
Well, if I want to wear that, can we bring them back?
Totally. Oh, you know what else I can't not think of and get an image of my head when I think about women working at the Playboy Club? So there would come a time when I was starting to date this guy in Vegas who was such a bad idea that two friends of mine literally staged an intervention.
Yeah.
So two guy friends in Vegas took me to the Artisan Hotel back when it was the Artisan during the day. Oh, we're going to show you this cool hotel. So they get me in this quiet lobby. We're in this corner. And they're like, hey, we brought you here for a reason. This guy you're seeing, don't date him. Did I listen? No. But anyway, they were telling me that he's like so bad. And their biggest, they're like, he's a bad vibe everywhere he goes in Vegas. And he's rinsed through all the girls at the Playboy Club. And I'm not trying to say all the girls at the Playboy Club had a thing with this guy. I'm sure most people probably didn't. But somebody somewhere got the exaggerated idea that he had like rinsed through all the girls at the Playboy Club. Ugh.
Yuck.
Watch out for creepers, ladies.
Yeah. You had kind of like a bad, what do I call it? Like a
dating history?
Yeah, but I was going to call it something else. But yeah, basically. Yeah, like it went like bad, ick.
I'm not going to argue with that, but I do feel like my relationship right after the mansion directly mirrored a lot of the same issues as my Hef relationship. But it was kind of a gift because it showed me that like ordinary guys can treat women like this too. So you just need to like not date people like that.
Yeah.
Whereas for Hef, for years and years, even after, like I was still making excuses for him because he's this big, famous, iconic, rich person. So, yeah. Oh, of course he's not going to be like everybody else.
Right.
But then I realized, no, that's something some guys do.
Yeah.
But
oh, well, so they announced the winners and it says Amy, Angela, Jessica.
Oh, so she got it.
Amanda. And then they say Amanda Bentley.
Uh-huh.
And then they say, congratulations, Amanda. But we say that she did not stick around. Oh, so she wasn't there when they called her name.
Oh, weird. And they show Hef going over to take a picture with all the girls. And I feel like, did they have a voice overlay in this? Because he walks up to the girls. He goes, hi, honey. But I feel like he didn't say hi, honey, to multiple women. I feel like if he would have walked up to the girls and said something, he would have, hi, girls.
Yeah.
He said, hi, honey, like when he was talking to one person. Do you think that's like a voice overlay they did? Him walking up to the group of girls and being like, hi, honey. Does that seem weird to you? Like, would Hef say that?
Yeah, unless he was like directly looking at one person or yeah. something like that he was going to stand next to. Or
maybe the heat of the day had got to him.
Maybe. And it shows Crystal looking so disappointed.
I know. I hate it.
I mean, it's really, really sad.
Yeah. And then the show kind of does this pivot where at the last minute, they're giving Kendra all these sympathetic lines in her confessional.
Yeah.
Which are like...
And in the scene, she walks yeah. over to Heaven. She's like, I'm really nervous for these girls. Like, I feel bad, blah, blah, blah. And it's not that she didn't feel that way. And I'm not saying that she didn't or uh-huh. that she didn't say those things. But we all knew And we all felt the same way, but they only show Kendra being sympathetic.
And I feel like in the beginning of the episode, except for that one line you mentioned, we're all kind of seem like we're on the same page. But at the end, they kind of twist it. So they kind of like tear us in our three different directions.
Yeah. So then we all group together, take the big group picture, which I have, and I'll post on the Patreon.
And then they play really sappy music showing Crystal going up to your room. Mm-hmm. And am I crazy for thinking that Crystal should have got it?
I think she should have gotten it too. And we obviously also, this is showing how our vote didn't matter at all because
yeah, we all voted for
100%, her. Like exclamation points, like this girl needs to get it and didn't get it. And 100% we were like, that other girl can't get it and did. So... They did not care about anything we said.
It's confusing. And it's confusing to me, too, because sometimes Hef would do these really generous things for like exes and like playmates and friends of his. I mean, there were women working in the office that he dated in the 50s. You know? Not everybody, but like Joyce and stuff. Mm-hmm. So sometimes he would do that. And it seems weird he wouldn't kind of throw Crystal a bone. It's odd. Or do you think the show didn't want her to get it on purpose? So there was that drama. But I doubt that too. Because remember, he didn't even want me interning at the studio because he didn't want to tell me no on camera.
Well, I don't even know why the show would care one way or another, whether Crystal got it or not. Like, I feel like it would be positive for the show.
It would
be. For Crystal to get it.
Unless they were being devious and just trying to create stakes. Like, we're going to have Mandy come on and be standoffish and she's going to get it. And then this girl that they really love isn't going to get it. But I don't even feel like that really seems like Kevin's style too much.
No.
I feel like Kevin's style is if he saw somebody being standoffish and not wearing the bikini, he would want to make her not get it and look really bad. And then let's give it to Crystal. I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a mystery to me.
It is a mystery.
So they play this really sappy music. Crystal comes up to your room and we get another Sprinkles cupcake mention.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Because
it's the same day.
Yeah, it's your anniversary. So I'm literally going to go get the Sprinkles cupcakes for your anniversary.
I already forgot this was the same day as the anniversary. And I thought, oh, it is the second mention in the show, but I thought this was a whole other time. And then it shows you guys driving away and they have a random voiceover of you just going, Sprinkles cupcake.
I mean, I think it's cute. It makes it look like we're going to go get her a little treat because she's down. And I think that's cute. And of course, Sprinkles cupcakes, yum, what better treat?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the reason we're going to go and get it is because it's your anniversary.
Oh my gosh.
And we're about to shoot a whole other scene.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Basically a whole other episode that night.
Yeah, we were just fitting it in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else to say about the episode before best and worst?
Crystal hands me a note. And do you see that in there?
I don't think I noticed it. No.
Oh, she hands me like a note. And I'm curious what the note said.
Did you ask her?
No, but I mean,
I'd be surprised if she remembers, but.
I keep all that stuff. So it's probably in my scrapbooks, but I didn't look for it until, but I was like, I wonder what that note said. I think she was just thanking us for being supportive of her and stuff. Sweet.
You know what my favorite Crystal Camden moment is on the show? And I don't know what episode it's in, but there's some episode where she walks into your room and she's wearing a hoodie and she has one of those big Playboy bunny pillows over her head. And she literally looks like a walking Playboy logo. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Well, and I try and cheer her up and I tell her, you know, like, you got to the final, like 20 girls out of 300.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I know it's still not getting it, but I feel like you have to look at the bright side on things like that. I know anytime I went on an audition or did a pageant or whatever, I'm like, well, it started with like this many girls and I made it this far. Like the Elvira show and stuff, like it started with however many girls, but however many people went to that first audition and then how many people actually made it to the show. And then I know I made it to like, I think the top four.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's good. You got to like find the silver lining in things.
Yeah. So best and worst of the episode.
My worst is we've already talked about it, but basically pitting women against women.
Yeah.
Editing Kendra to be the only sympathetic one to the other women. and then making us judge other girls and then judging us for judging them.
Yeah.
And making it seem like we're jealous of an ex. And that wasn't the whole story. Like, if you're going to make it play that way, you have to show why we would feel that way and why it's not that way with the other girls.
I think they kind of did show why. I mean, maybe they didn't mean to.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess they do kind of show why. But I still, watching it back all this time, I still feel like we're being catty. And that's not how it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with all that stuff. I think my worst, if I just had to pick one thing, is Crystal not getting it. What about best? Do you even have anything you like about this episode? It's got to be something.
I know. Well, I think my best is just seeing the mansion thriving with all those women there. Like, I feel like when people think about what the Playboy Mansion looked like on a daily basis, that would have been it. Like,
it reminds me of that pool party photo I posted on the Instagram maybe like a month or so ago.
Yeah, just like tons and tons of girls everywhere in the pool, eating,
bunnies walking
drinking.
Around.
Yeah, bunnies in full costume walking around, playing volleyball, on the trampoline, hula hooping. Yeah. Like, just all of this going on all the time, 24/7 at the mansion. Like, I feel like that's what you think of when you think of the Playboy Mansion, and as we know, that's not exactly how it was.
Yeah,
but I feel like this kind of embodied what it should look like. And then I think the excitement of all these women wanting to be a part of Playboy in that way, I think that I liked seeing that, especially then. Like, I thought that was really cool, and I felt that way, so it kind of reinforced like how I was feeling too. Like, this is a cool thing to be a part of, and a lot of women want to be a part of it. And then the other thing, too, for me was kind of being on the casting side of things. It's eye-opening.
I love being in casting, which, working at the studio, I was. And I say this all the time. I feel like anybody getting into the entertainment industry who's auditioning for anything, in a perfect world, they should have to, like, intern in casting before they do that. Because then you just learn that stuff isn't that personal.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the best example to say stuff isn't that personal, because there's weird rigged and something's not and
yeah.
But I don't know if this is the best example, but no. In reality, it's usually not that personal.
But even so, I think that, like, just hearing what human resources was looking for, even though they kind of show you guys that we're looking for certain things, but they didn't tell you all of the stuff that we actually had to look for and the criteria and everything. I just think seeing all that and seeing how they are viewing it and what they're looking for, and then what the girls bring and stuff, I think it's just really eye-opening. So I do have positives out of it.
Yeah. My best is my bunny costume, because I really like the visual of the hot pink bunny costume. And I even like my white outfit that I'm wearing at the dinner table. So I like my outfits. And I just like how, when it comes to the part of the show that was like the bunny costume and Hef not wanting me to wear it, but me thinking it's fun and funny to wear it, I feel like me and the show were like in tune, and I finally got an edit that I kind of liked. And that's like the first time I've seen that in almost two whole seasons of the show.
Yeah.
So that is the bunny hunt. I'm not sure what we'll have next week, if we'll have an interview, but if we do another episode, the next episode is
we can work it out.
We can work it out, which is a highly anticipated episode about when we make our workout video.
Yeah.
I'm eager to get into that one.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot in that. A lot
to talk about.
Yeah.
So if you guys would like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we will see you guys next week.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget to check out our merch store.
Yeah. It's girlsnextlevel.shop. So we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.